But again, appreciate you being here today. And hope the Lord makes you feel at home and makes you feel comfortable and speaks to your heart and makes it worth being in church. I shared this in Sunday school. I guess this will be a little sermonette number one. I shared it in Sunday school. I was reading Proverbs 17 this morning. I try to read a proverb a day with 31, you know, proverbs and 31 days in most months. A couple of months, I guess I get to read a couple extra ones. But anyway, I was reading this morning in Proverbs 17. And the Lord just, I've read this verse many, many times. It's a familiar verse. And I'll go ahead and read the verse. It says here, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And of course, you know, medicine, it's in the Bible right there. I know people have, and there's even things politically right now talking about medicine and so forth. But anyway, but it says here, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And if we look again, maybe at the world and its shape, some people that don't believe in God and some people that do believe in God, and then of course with the political that we just had and the voting and so forth and people's opinions and so forth, and I guess the word division is there. And so sometimes we're like, you know, I wish people would just love God, and I wish people would just get along, and I wish people would, you know, this, that, and other. And you know, that's why we're here. Those of us Christians, we're supposed to help in that situation. And that's what it says here: "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." So maybe we ought not go around with our soapbox all the time and say, "You need to, you need to, you need to," but just be happy, like she talked about. If you think about your house and your home and what God's done for you, that ought to make you happy. And so, if you just go around happy, people are like, "What's wrong with you?" I think there were situations in the Bible that they thought the people were drunk. And the disciples and then the lady that was praying for a son, they were like, "No, not drunk. Just happy. Just want God's will. Just want God to bless." And so I believe that'll help with us being what we're supposed to be. Just be happy. And anyway, now we're in 1 Thessalonians. Sorry about that. That was just what God preached to me this morning, so I thought I'd share it with you. But today we're in 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to read verse 13 in just a minute. I have two different titles. I guess one would be what I would call spiritual, biblical, and one would be what I would call in the times, maybe hip. I don't know if you use that word. You know, I have a couple hips and they're hurting me. But anyway, I guess that's a word these days, hip. So I'm going to give you both titles. And you can take whichever one you want. You can take the spiritual one, the biblical one. Or if you're all that and a bag of chips and you're hip, you can take the second one. My first one is this: 7 observations that Paul made of the Thessalonians. Okay, well, that's what we're talking about. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And he was writing them a letter. And this is some observations I've made. We preached not too long ago about them being in samples, what they were examples of. But here's Paul giving recognition, giving them kudos, if you want to call it. And so here's my hip title, my end times. Paul was giving them props. I don't know if that's even a word these days, but the teenagers used to say that. I was a youth director for years. I'm just giving him props. Okay? All right? And so that's what, some of you are like, "I've never even heard that." But, is that even a word still, Ty? People don't say props anymore? All right. So maybe some a little bit older than Ty that heard that, "I'm giving him props." Maybe the little pound chest and the point. All right, giving him props. But anyway, Paul was given the Thessalonians props, and so we'll go from there. But it says here, Paul may have come across a little intense for some people. If you read the Apostle Paul, and "This one thing I do," and he was always saying, "Praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord for always, and again I say rejoice." So maybe Paul came across a little intense. Okay? And I think I've seen his heart. So in other words, he wasn't like, dictate, or "Bless God, drop and give me 20, or this, that, and other. He wanted the best for them. And so even in his, I guess, maybe pat on the back or a compliment, he was just like, "You got it. This is it. You're heading in the right direction." And as a pastor, obviously, and somebody that's a little bit on the intense side, I get it. You know, some people are so laid back, man, you know, they're just not going to get excited. They're just, you know, they're like Eeyore, I guess, you know. But anyway, they're just going to go through life and things like that. But, you know, forgive us intense people. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see Paul's, his heart. Yes, he was intense. But what he realized was, like, hey, I've been serving Satan for this many years. I've persecuted Christians. I've messed up churches. I've hurt people. But now God forgave me of that, and He saved me, and man, I'm excited about it. And so he's like, let's go. And that's why he, obviously, Thessalonica, Colossae, Ephesians, Corinthians, all these churches that God allowed him to start, he was writing them letters, and he was trying to say, let's go. And he maybe even called like the Corinthians, you bunch of baby Christians, grow up. But he was intense. But it was out of a heart of concern, and he wanted to help them. So we see that Paul, he may have been a little bit intense, but what he did and what he said, he did what he said and said what he did out of a love for them. And we're going to see an example of that here in just a second. But Paul, he had accepted Christ as his Savior. He had experienced forgiveness. And again, some of us may have gotten saved when we were a little child. You know, we came to the realization that, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I need to ask Jesus to save me. And, you know, I guess the worst thing you did was maybe talk back to your mom or push your sibling. And, you know, you wicked sinner. Right? But Paul, I mean, he had done some serious things wrong. But it took Jesus' death on the cross for the disobedient parent and the mean to brother and sister and to the person that persecuted Christians. It took Jesus' death on the cross. So he had accepted that. He had experienced that, and then he had been enjoying it for, you know, serving God. I used to be, but I forgot about that. Now I'm pressing this way. So he was a little bit intense. But it says here, it caused Paul to want... He was just burning inside, bubbling over inside or whatever. He basically wanted everybody to have or experience what he had. So again, he may have came across a little intense, but he was doing that. Why? Because we see here he pushed, he prodded, he pleaded, I beseech you. He begged, he pressured. Right? Oh, I can't stand this pressure. And of course, we all have the example of you take the coal and you just squeeze the coal till it can't hardly stand it anymore, and then out pops a diamond. So we need pressure. We need things like that. But we see here that he not only pushed and pleaded and prodded and pressured, but he also prayed. And I think that's the balance. All right? Because we can push and we can prod and we can pressure, but we gotta season that with some prayer. And that's what he did, and that's where he came up with these observations. So now Paul is giving props to the Thessalonians. Romans 13:7, I'll read this for... This is where the Bible tells you it's okay to do this. You can give a pat on the back. You can give some props. You can give some encouragement. You can give some attaboys. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute. So if somebody's passed away and you give a tribute to them, what they meant to you in their life, that's a good thing. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. And so Paul is given these things here, and, you know, somebody might say, well, he shouldn't have done that. It's going to go to their head. All right? Yes, it can do that. But that's why that individual has to process it and things like that. So I see it. Paul's pressure and Paul's prodding and Paul's pleading. But then he also had that prayer. If you're a parent, you know where Paul's coming from. Because all I knew when my boys were growing up, was I wanted what's best for them. You know, I'd seen the sports side and, you know, bless God, get your... I said, no, just do your best. I mean, I love you, and I want you to have fun, but I want you to do your best in life. I wasn't trying to relive my life through them, all that kind of stuff. But I did. So I pushed them. You do your best. You better do your best. Why? Because I just wanted what's best for them. A teacher... Some of you in here have been teachers. And if you are a teacher in these days and times, God bless you. Woo! Goodness gracious. But anyway, that's all a teacher wants. They study and they do and they kill themselves today. Why? Because they want what's best for the student. I just want you to be smart. I want you to be able to make it in life. I want you to be able to figure out things. Coaches, again, if they have the right perspective, I think sports are great to develop character and develop, you know, desire and things like that. But that coach has to be there for that. And they just want what's best. There's some bosses that want what's best for the employee. Not a lot of them. They want what's best for them, most of them. But there's some bosses out there that want what's best for the employee. I know some pastors that want what's best for the church members. It's not about me. It's about God and how God can bless you. So we see the push and the prod and the plead and the pressure. And then we ought to do both, pray and give props. So we're going to look at it this morning real quickly. The first thing that he gave them props for is right there in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. He's made some observations in these Christians in this church, and he wants to give them honor. He wants to give them tribute. He wants to give them props. He wants to give them a little pat on the back. First of all, he says, I want to give you props or give you praise for receiving the Word of God. Because, again, God's not going to make us get saved. God's not going to make us read His Bible. He's not going to make us live what the Bible says. He's given us that opportunity, and that will be what's best. But it's a choice. And so we all have a choice. And so, again, it's just like today. I didn't make you come to church. I can't make you come back tonight. I can't make you. I would rather. but it's going to be your choice. And that's what Paul was saying. Like, look, I've been preaching and I've been praying. And I know I'm pushing. I know I'm pressuring. But I just want to give you props that you received it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, I thank we God without ceasing. So in other words, he's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you all the time without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, I was preaching it. My helpers here have been preaching it. But it says here, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And so that's what he's saying. Look, I know I've been saying it, and these other guys have been saying it. And you had a choice to whether receive it or reject it. But what I like is that you have received it, but you didn't receive it because I'm saying it. You received it because it's God's word. And so again, if you've been here long at all, you know when I'm preaching, I'm going to give you verse after verse after verse after verse. And if you want to read them all later, you're going to have to write them down because there's no way you can keep up with me. But that's what I'm trying to say is it's not my words. I'm not saying thus saith me. I'm saying thus saith the Lord. And if I ever say an opinion, I will try to remember to say, now, this is just my opinion. I don't have a verse for it. You can take it or leave it. But God's Word, I don't want you to take it or leave it. I want you to receive it. Why? Because look what the rest of the verse says. I'm excited. I'm giving you props this morning because you've heard the Word of God and you've received it as being God's Word, not just mine. And then it says here, which effectually worketh also in you that I believe. And so, as a parent, you watch your kids and you see them doing what you taught. And you're like, yes, yes, yes. All right? Nothing wrong with you going up and saying, I saw that, and I appreciate that. I've told you this before. I try to do that with my kids, because if I saw them doing something wrong, I was going to push. I was going to pressure. I was going to prod. All right, and I was going to pray. But if I thought I'm doing something right, I wanted to praise. That's it. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, I've been preaching, and I just want to give you some kudos this morning. You've received it as God's Word, and you've let it affect you. That's what it's all about. So it says here, I've seen you receive God's Word as God's Word. I've seen you accept it, not as mine, but His. But then I also have seen how it's affected you. And so again, as a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God, when you see people listening, and they're like, but then they go out and they do it. Woohoo! All right. Again, not any of me. It's God. It's He's the one that gives the increase. It's Him that gives the blessing. So that's what Paul says. So Paul knew that everyone was going If they were going to be successful, it was going to be because of God and God's Word working in their life. A underneath that one, as we receive it, believe it, and do it, we're basically doing what God created us to do. Write this verse down, James 1:18. James 1:18 says this, of His own will. So we're talking about God. All right, not my will, but God's will. Of His own will begat He us. So in other words, God created us. We could do a whole study of that. The Bible says that before this world was created, we were in God's mind. Before the foundations of the world, He knew when we would be born, where we would be born, whom we would be born to, and what we'd be doing. And He had a will for us. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, of His own will begat He us, and here it is, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. In other words, God wants us to all receive His word, believe it, apply it, do it. And that's what Paul was saying. You're getting it. I want to give you props on doing what God wants to do. So we see, secondly, receiving His word is a huge necessity. A huge necessity. If you want to be saved, you've got to receive God's word. If you want to be blessed, you're going to have to receive God's word. And we could go on and go on. And I can show you. And number two, 1 Peter 1:23, receiving His word is part of salvation. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, that's saved. That's becoming a Christian. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, obviously, a person that is not a Christian, they're not saved, they're not born again. We as Christians, I as a preacher, can give that word of God out, and they can listen and say, I think I agree with that. I think I need to do that. I think I want that. And, of course, a Christian is excited. Paul is excited when the word of God affects. The third thing underneath that, receiving comes with affliction. So Paul was excited that they had heard it, received it, applied it, gotten saved, started growing. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, if you want to flip back a chapter, you can see this one. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul's like, look, I'm giving you props. You've heard it, you've received it, you're doing it, it's affecting you. But verse 6 of chapter 1 says this, and ye being followers of us. In other words, you're listening to my preaching, Paul's saying. You're following us, you're going to our church here at Thessalonica. I agree with that, but it says here, and of the Lord, wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for God, having received the word, here it is, in much affliction. All right, so I can testify that. And when I started going to church and started reading the Bible and started doing like I thought God wanted me to do, I had grandparents say, what are you doing? My one grandfather wanted me to take over the family business. It's like, look, you're throwing lots of money away by going to Bible college instead of taking over this business. I was like, well, Gramps, I'm sorry, but I'd rather please God than the family. I had to get affliction. Well, that one went to church. My other grandfather didn't even go to church. What's your fallback plan? Well, I don't think God needs a fallback plan. The Bible says He's never seen the righteous begging bread. He's going to supply all your need. So I don't think God needs it. So, you start listening to the Word of God, you start applying it in your life, and you start trying to please God. That's not going to make everybody happy. Oh, you're in a cult now. You're this, you're that. But then it goes on to say in that verse, with joy of the Holy Ghost. What was so cool about it is I was reading it. The Holy Spirit was convicting me. I was trying to apply this into my life. And yeah, it was hurtful when both your granddads were saying, where's your fallback plan? You're blowing it, wasting your time going to Bible college instead of taking over this business. But when you feel the Holy Spirit inside, then don't listen to them. This is what God wants you to do. That's what Paul was saying. All right? It might disappoint some people. But if God's happy with you, that's where it's at. That's all that in a bag of chips. So that's what he's saying. You might get some affliction. So knowing and feeling and hearing the small, still voice, not audible, but that small, still voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, that's joyful. That's joyful. So Paul was giving them props that they had received the Word of God. Secondly, look in verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. And he was giving them props, saying, okay, not only have you listened to the Bible and you've let it affect you, here's something else you did. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, it says here, for they themselves, again, so an individual choice. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me, you can't choose for your kids, you can't choose for your cousin. It's an individual choice. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So we see that back then, there was actual idol worship. I mean, statue type stuff. All right? Kissing a big toe, rubbing this, or lighting a fire and praying to this. And they had saw that there was only one true God. You know, the Jehovah God. And they had accepted that fact. And Paul's like, I'm glad you heard the Word of God, you received it, and there may be some affliction, but you're going forward. But then not only did you do that, you turned from the idols. And so, he said here, these idols could have been actual idols, but they also could be idols of the mind. In other words, Romans 8:5 says this, for they are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So they had a choice to make. Do I do what my flesh wants to do? Or do I want to do what God wants me to do? So he said, hey, you've turned from the world to God. Hey, you've turned from the flesh to the Spirit. Hey, you've turned from doing what you want to what God wants. You surrender to God's will, and I just want to give you props for it. You have put God first. And a couple verses about that, Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So one of those things is that affliction might be the devil. You know, you hear a preacher like me say, hey, read the Bible, apply it, and do it. And the devil would say, you know, God doesn't want you to have any fun. He wants you to be miserable. you're going to have a stinky life. You know, everybody's going to be partying and having a good time, and you're not. That's what the devil will lie. But it says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, hey, I want you to have it all. I want you to be saved. I want you to be happy. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have a good time in life, in the Christian life. Colossians 1:18, that in all things He might have preeminence. Obviously, that church at Colossae, Paul told them, you got to put God first. Next, we see here, you have the right perspective. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, what Paul was telling the Corinth, you know, I was wicked. I was working against God. He saved me and forgave me. And so now that love, that it constrains me. It overtakes me. Because we thus judge that if all one die for all. So in other words, Paul's saying, look, he died for me, so I'm going to live for him. That's just my perspective in life. So he gave them props for receiving the Word of God. He gave them props for turning from the idols. Number three, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians. And here's the prop that he gave, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, somebody might say, we're going to do this weekend. And somebody might say, I'm in. Or we might say, count me in. That's what he's giving them props for. I've been preaching. Silvanus has been preaching. Even a little old wet behind the ears, Timotheus has been preaching. And y'all are in. Y'all are like, I agree. I'm doing it. I'm here. Count me in. I'm in the brethren. And so I'm just going to give you props for dwelling in God. So having received the Word of God and turning from the idols, they had made their abode, their resting place in God. As for me and my house, we're going to be in God. This one thing I do, I'm going to be in God. And he was giving them props for that. 1 John 4:16 says this, and we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so it's about the love of God dwelling in us. Again, we talked about that earlier, being merry. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Also, the love of God helps. First, Psalm 91:1 says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So us that dwell in God, God, I'm not going to do anything unless I know You want me to do it. God, I'm going to behave like I feel like You want me to behave. If we're dwelling in Him, lead me, guide me, direct me, tell me. It says right here, we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And of course, the Bible also gives that connotation with the chicken that's got her little bitties. They run underneath those wings, and man, she puts those wings down, and it's on like Donkey Kong if you get close. All right? And I've tried it. They will flog you like crazy. Why? Because they're going to protect you. And that's what God's saying. Look, if you dwell in Me, you got safety. So being in Christ for our salvation, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. You got to be in Him to have salvation. Supplication, in other words, our prayers. They prayed to Dagon, nothing. They prayed to the false gods there with Elijah, nothing. But you pray to God, Jehovah God, answered prayer. So in God, dwell in God, and you can have salvation, you can have supplication, we can have strength. The Bible says, when I am weak, then He is strong. So you abide in Me, you got my backup. Here's one. The Bible says, having done all to stand. We have to stand in our day and time. Not be a jerk, not be mean, but we have to be standing. Make a stand. It says here, planted by the rivers of the water, and you shall not be moved. So He was saying, hey, you have it all together in these areas. You've received the Word of God. You've turned from idols to God. Now you're dwelling in God. And the rest of that verse says you're serving God. So 1 Thessalonians 1:9, the second part, you turn from God or to God from idols, and then it says right there, to serve the living God. Now, again, serving God, we think maybe you have to have my position to serve God. No, you don't. A deacon's serving God. You don't even have to have that position. Obviously, there's been people serving this morning. If you said, hello, welcome to Lighthouse Baptist Church, that's serving God. Praise the Lord for the ladies in the back. There's no diapers in here. I don't have to change them. Praise God. Hey, they're wiping little baby tushes for serving Jesus. Amen. They're keeping them out there and so forth. But anyway, anything serving God. Today, after everybody leaves, somebody will take the trash out. That's serving God. You can serve God by just having a merry heart, like a medicine. It doeth good. We can go around serving God. And that's what He's saying here. You left all that behind to serve God. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, look what it says. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So just having faith in God, that's serving God. That's a work of faith. And labor of love. I've seen it many times over the last 2 years. There's people that come and paint VBS decorations. That's the thought of it's exciting. The actual getting started is exciting, but then it turns into work. Whew. All right. We got to finish. It's work, that labor of love. But that's why you do it, because you love God, you love kids, and you want them to hear about God. Then it says here, and patient in hope. Again, that's where that has to kick in. I have faith in God, so now I'm going to serve Him. But those altercations are coming, that affliction is going to come, so we're going to have patience. But then it goes here, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God. So dwell in Him. Ephesians 6:6 says this, not with eye service as men pleasers. There's a lot of people that get in the service of God because they're trying to make everybody else happy. Hey, look at me, I'm super Christian. Hey, check out what I do. That's what the Pharisees did. But God says, don't get involved in it for that. You know, don't post about it. Don't do all this, that, and other. But not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what He said about the Thessalonians. You're not doing it because you're getting a post or a like or a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You're doing it from your heart because you love God. And that's why He was giving them props. So Paul was giving them props for receiving the Word of God, turning from the idols, dwelling with God, serving God. Here's the next one. Look at verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He gave them props for waiting on the Son. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says this, "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivereth us from the wrath to come." So it's kind of like, there's a couple examples in the Bible. Nehemiah was working on the wall, and he had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Because the affliction, the enemy came, so he'd work for God and he'd stab for a while. He'd work for God and he'd stab for a while. And then they said, hey, come down here, I want to have a talk with you. And he's like, I'm not coming down. I'm working for God here. I'm serving God. And so we see that he said, you know, that's props. You're serving God. But he said, you're waiting. It's kind of like, you know, God doesn't want us to just stop and look at the eastern sky and say, okay, I'm just going to stand right here until you come. No. He wants us to be busy. But that big word, peripheral vision, all right? You know, I can be looking here, but I can see some stuff going on over here. Kind of caught my eye. All right? That's kind of how He wants us to work. You be working for God. You serve God, but keep that peripheral going. And so if you hear that trump, and you hear the Lord say, come up hither, that's how He wants you to be ready. And we've got a couple of verses for that. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Titus, he was told, Titus, hey, you keep working. You serve God, but you keep that peripheral going. Props for the activity and the service, serving with patience and waiting. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says this, blessed are they that wait for Him. You know, if somebody says, I'll be there at this time, you're peeking through the blinds. You're looking out in the driveway. You're listening for the car doors. All right? You're anticipating. That's what He's saying. Blessed are they that wait. Hey, Jesus, come back any second. I know this as a troublemaking kid. Mom and Dad could open that door any second, so I better not do this. All right? They told me to do this, this, and this before they got home. I better get it done. Because when they come down that driveway, I want them to... Blessed are they that wait for Him. Props for waiting and being busy until He comes. Matthew 24:46. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when He come, findeth him so doing. All right? I want God catching me doing something good. I don't want Him catching me doing something bad. Luke 19:13 says this. Jesus told His servants, occupy till I come. So that's what Paul was saying. You got this principle down too. You're serving God even though Jesus can come back any second. So Paul was giving them props. Hey, you received God's Word. You turned from idols to God. You're dwelling in God. You're serving God. Then you're also having that mindset of peripheral vision. And then the last one, we see here they were learning. Learning. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Flip over a couple pages. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. He's like, in all that, in receiving God's Word, in turning from the idols, in serving, in watching, you're also learning. You're getting it. There's more to it. You learn this principle, keep doing that, but learn some more principles. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So he was giving them a little bit of props and saying, hey, I don't always have to keep my thumb on you. I don't always have to keep reminding you that this is what you're supposed to do. You got it. All right, you're watching for God. You're trying to please Him. And you don't need to be taught anymore. You got it. Don't revert back. Love one another. It says here, and you have God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and you can tell when you're listening and learning. 1 John 2:27 says this, but the anointing which ye have received of Him, abide in you, which is that Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So He was giving them props. And again, you liken it to baby Christians, and they come in and say, what's this book of Job? That happens. All right. I've been reading in the book of Job. All right. Or, you know, they come back from, you know, going soul winning with somebody and they say, hey, we saved three people. In other words, they don't have the vernacular yet. I got goosebumps. That might be the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. But anyway, and they use different things like that. He was giving them props saying, hey, you've been doing it long enough and serving God. And obviously, none of us ever arrive. We don't apprehend, like Paul said. But he's like, look, you're such a good Christian that nobody's having to call and check on you. Nobody's having to remind you that this is what God would... I mean, you've grown to the point that you're pleasing Him on your own. So here, you have learned and that you are keeping the great lessons that you've learned. 1 Thessalonians 4b says you've been taught. And then John 13:35 says this, but this all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. So in verse 9, he says here, touching brotherly love. That's what I'm saying. He was saying, look, y'all aren't having little spats over here and little arguments over here. Y'all just love each other. Right? And obviously, you look at 1 Corinthians, they were having the spats. They were getting mad at each other. They were wanting this position and that position. And Paul's like, come on, guys. Y'all got to grow. He's telling the church at Thessalonica, y'all have grown to the point that it's all about God. It's all about pleasing Him. It's all about you learning and doing what... And again, praise the Lord. And it's in Matthew 11:29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So we're supposed to learn. So Paul is giving them props for receiving God's Word, for trust from turning to God from idols, dwelling in God, serving God, waiting on God, learning from God. And I lied a while ago. I'm sorry. Here's my last one. All right. He was saying, okay, I gave you all those props. Don't let it go to your head. All right. Because all of us have that tendency. You know, your wife comes in there and says, can you open this pickle jar? I'm sure. And you hear the and she's like, whoa, you're so strong. All right. It just happens. All right. And you know, your coach says, man, you're the next Michael Jordan. It will. So Paul knew that. And Paul says, if I say, look, you know, you're learning, you've turned, you're doing this, and you know, you're so grown up Christian, I'm not having to teach you anymore. You're doing it. He knew they'd go, just super Christian. You know, here I am. I've got it figured out. He said, don't let it go to your head. I'm going to give you props, but you got to walk worthy. Look what it says, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says this, that ye would walk worthy. In other words, keep doing what you did to get what you got so you can keep what you got. I wouldn't be able to say that again, all right? But he's like, walk worthy. Don't let it go to your head. And it says here, walk worthy of God who hath called unto His kingdom and glory. In other words, God's the one that's done this for you. He saved you. He's blessing you. You know, He's helped you make these decisions. He's helping you serve Him. He knows that you're watching. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says this, that ye would walk worthy. Keep doing it. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. In other words, I'm praying for you all the time to not let it go to your head. You keep walking worthy. You keep doing what God wants you to do. Because when ye received the Word of God, so walk worthy is this. It costs a lot, but it's worth it. It costs a lot, but it's not a waste of time or waste of money. We are called to walk worthy. Colossians 1:10 says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he told the church at Colossae the same thing. You keep doing what you did to get what you got. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith are you called. So Paul's like, I'm going to give you a bunch of praise here, but then I'm going to bring it into perspective here. You keep doing what you did to get what you got so you can keep what you got and not lose it. Why? Because the Bible says a just man falleth seven times, but he gets back up. I know there's things that I learned in this book a long time ago and said, okay, I need to do that. And I've not done it. Boom. I fell. But I had to ask God for forgiveness and got back up And so you have a couple of those fall flat on your faces. That will remind you to walk worthy. Keep doing what you did to get what you got, so you can keep what you got. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we see that Paul made some observations, and he gave them credit. He gave them tribute. He gave them props. But Lord, then he brought it back into perspective and said, look, the reason that you are saved, the reason that you are blessed, the reason that you are able to serve, the reason that you are able to do, it's all God. Lord, I ask you to help us to realize that, that you're all that we need. And Lord, I ask you to bless each individual. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to give us an invitation hymn. Altar's open. If you need to be saved, we can take the Bible to show you how to be saved. And then we have something that's going to join here in just a minute.